Well, welcome everyone to Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. I'm Donna Smith and I'm here with Leon Mauser. And we've been doing these podcasts over the last few weeks. We've been discussing the basis for making good decisions in our lives, how God has given us the instructions to guide us on our path back to Him. In the Bible, staying on his side of this war against the devil, which is what we're really dealing with. And our belief system is the foundation for all our decisions, and making sure it's aligned with God is key. Obeying the Ten Commandments is the start. So since, right, Leon? I mean, that's what we're covering. So we're covering, Donna,
and want to welcome everybody today that made the decision to come on and learn more about how we can love God.
Exactly. And since the previous and the next, at least seven podcasts are going to be based on the Ten Commandments, I wanted to, talk about this thing that I just recently found out, because we are truly hoping that people will see how God wants us to live and how to make our decisions. But I'd like to share this little piece of information that I found out, that the state of Louisiana is just signing a bill. Hopefully it completely passes. I think it has one more option. They want to pass a bill that requires schools to post the Ten Commandments again.
Wow, how about that? You know, Donna, the Holy Spirit is working well in Louisiana. And I think that there's so many more places that we don't know about and how the Spirit is taking over people. They're getting together. They're having group meetings. It's just a wonderful thing that's happening, but we're not aware of that. But if you've been following our podcast, by now you should understand how we're able to make a good decision from those filters, like Donna said, in our belief system that we have in place so we can align ourselves with God. Why? Why should we align ourselves with God? So we can live a life of pure happiness with the knowledge that we're going to spend eternity with God. You know, and pointing out Romans 8:28 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it's so
my favorite too. One of my favorite too, Leon.
And the history of the Bible is so amazing. I just wanted to point this out. In Romans 8:28, what it says is that, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. How about that?
Yeah.
Who have been called according to his purpose. You know, we know that it's not that we don't know or we think or we might know. We do know. It's absolute. And God works with people who love him. Why not? If you're in a relationship with someone that loves you, they would do things for you if you would love them back. It's as simple as that. You know, so who in the Bible's history have shown us the only real happiness is loving God? There was a king in the Bible had all kind. God gave him wisdom, gave him all kinds of territory, gave him everything that he ever asked for, just to try and make him happy. Now this king had all of those possessions, had all of those things that you would think the worldly things would make him happy, but he could not find happiness. And what happened? Well, he got worked on by some queens from other countries, and he started to fall away from God because he was listening to all these other women that were paying attention to him because he was so important. What happened? He did. He turned away from God. And if he honored his father, his life would have been different, because his father was the one that had a heart for God. But even though this king was so wise, let me give you an example of how wise he was. Two women came up to him and they were arguing about whose baby it was. One woman said, it's my baby. The other woman said, no, that's my baby. And so the king, he says, well, let's just cut them in half and give half to each one of the women. But the woman that says, no, you keep the baby, because they didn't want that baby cut in half. The king knew exactly whose was the mother.
Yes.
And so that wisdom is something that even he had that, he was not happy. What his happiness he was looking for in the world is not there. His happiness comes from God.
Yes. Exactly. And the love of a parent, it's there for most all people. Many of us will, you know, we'll talk about the fact that, oh yeah, I'm obeying my parents, you know, I'll obey the law and order figures, and they say things that justify that, saying, well, of course, I'm never going to drive drunk, I'm not going to do drugs. But let's really look at this commandment of obeying our parents, the obeying the law, obeying our elders. Let's look at that. That is our discussion today, the commandment number 4 of honoring our parents. Exodus 20, right? Verse 12. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to read straight from the Bible so that, you know, people don't think I'm just, you know, touting what I think or whatever, but, unless you have it right there, it's going, it literally says, honor your father and mother that you may live or have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That is the commandment that we are talking about today.
And, you know, even in Matthew 15:3, where Jesus is asking, you know, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? Isn't that what they were struggling with? Like that tradition. And then Jesus said that God said, honor your father and mother. So Jesus told us that also. And also in Mark 7:10 and Mark 10:19 and Luke 18:20. And how many other verses can you find in the Bible that refers to the love and the honor of your father and mother? Many more.
You know, it's interesting. We'll just point out that you can't look at just the New Testament. You have to look at it in context of the Old Testament and the history. And that's just an example of the proof that God said, that Jesus said, I didn't come to dispel the law. I came to enforce it. I didn't change one tittle, which is a little squiggly lines or dots that they, you know, on the Hebrew language or whatever. He says, I'm not changing any of that. So yes, the Bible is meant to be looked at in its whole completion, not just the New Testament, not just the Old Testament, but the whole completion, because it's tying all together.
You know, the Bible, I've been told, it's the exact word, but it's not the exhaustive word. There's more.
Very good. Yes, exactly. Now, you know, taking this commandment, we have every generation going back probably to the beginning of time that the youth I guess the word should be dissing their elders, okay? Not treating them right. It, in past generations, we can look at it and say it was minor things, like they're not opening the doors, they're wearing sloppy clothes, you know, chewing gum in appropriate places, you know, little things like that. But now we're even in something a whole lot worse, which in my opinion shows how much the devil has infiltrated in all these different things in our lives. We've got knives and guns that we're dealing with kids. We've got sexually active kids. Kids, I mean, you know, young, 10, 12, 11. You've got violence, not only to other people, but to their parents. And, of course, you know, we got the social media, which corrupts our minds in all kinds of ways. And I know I pointed out that before, where it was garbage in, garbage out. So if you're listening to the garbage, if you're watching that kind of stuff, you too will exhibit. And we've got proof of that all over the place.
And, you know, I find it interesting how a combination of circumstances leads to the erosion of social behavior. I believe it started back with, you know, I am part of that. And when we were the baby boomers, and we definitely started changing things in our generation from the previous generation, which was the greatest generation ever. And they were very, very strategic in how they lived their lives. So what happened was a war broke out that we were against. It was a Vietnam War. It wasn't a war. It was a conflict. And what was government was picking guys up off the street and throwing them into the war. And we, our generation, we said, we don't want any war. We don't want a war. What are we doing over there? We're not helping anybody. And all of a sudden, people started to realize that. And when we have a definition of how we change through the generations, I think it's the identity with, like, movie actors – or maybe an act that you wanted to do to be accepted in a peer group might have been a stupid thing to do. Okay. And also how have we treated the way we speak to each other? You know, we're a nation of euphemisms. We don't want to offend anybody. That's why we change words to make them softer and prettier and nicer and all that. Take, for instance, back in World War I, World War II, if someone had been in that war and they had a problem because of whether they got wounded or they called it shell shock. You know, mm-hmm. That was a post. Now that was something that happened. Now they want to make it sound nicer, so they call it post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Mm-hmm. Or here's another one, Donna. It used to be called toilet paper. Now it's called bathroom tissue. You know, things get softer as we go along. So let's not offend anybody. So
yeah.
my version of this whole thing is, you know, we wouldn't need the Bible in prisons if we would keep the Bible in our schools. And I really think that's something I stand by all the time.
Well, I agree. And in this commandment, it's a prime example because, you know, parents are responsible, and we'll talk a little more about that, but they're responsible to teach morals and ethics. And then suddenly parents were letting the schools do it, but in all honesty, schools were reinforcing that back when you and I were growing up. They were reinforcing what we were learning. They can't teach something that's not being taught at the home. They've got to, you know, they're reinforcing that. And now you have, and this has been going on for many, many years, now you're tying the teachers. You're tying the schools. So not only are you not getting it at home, you're not even allowing the schools to do certain things. They're tying their hands. And I mean, I can give one example of a personal example, someone I was working with, and they had a meeting with the parents and the administration, and the parents were all upset saying, you know, well, my kid disagrees with this and that or whatever. And the parents literally came out and said, well, my student doesn't like you. Like, that was going to make the difference. Like, all of a sudden, the teacher is supposed to turn around and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'll do better on that. I was like, my job is not to make you like me. My job is to teach you. And parents are trying to become more buddies. You know, there's lots of programs out there that have kind of like, oh, I just want to be a buddy to my kid. And I remember, and I know this is probably going back for other people. I mean, you know, the kids probably wouldn't know this. It was something called the Gilmore Girls. Hmm. And it was a high school student that had a daughter and she, you know, left home and she became buddies with her. And as an adult later, you know, when she's a teenager, she had to fight that problem of going, wait a minute, I'm still the parent. It's like, well, you never were the parent. You were always a buddy, you know, and it was a great series. I mean, it was, you know, very entertaining, but that's an example of some of the factors that have contributed to this lack of respect or this commandment not being done, obeying our parents, obeying our elders. You know, parents are too busy. You know, they've let the TV babysit. And it was like you were saying, you know, look what's coming through the social media. We're softening the blow. You know, the TV is doing the education. And if you look at the programs on TV, and again, I kind of have to go back with some of the ones that I, because I'm not watching the latest ones, but they are actually promoting promiscuity, lack of morals, things like even Friends, which was a great program, but it, you know, that promiscuity of everybody having sex with everybody else, Beavis and Butthead, South Park, there's all these programs out there. That's a far cry from what I grew up with, which was Leave It to Beaver, okay? You know?
But, you know, Donna, I grew up with in that same genre of programming us to accept what the family situation was. You don't see the families anymore in a few of the programs you do. But, you know, I used to watch The Little Rascals. A bunch of kids that were, and even though I watched the Three Stooges, I've never hit anybody over the head with a pipe. You know?
You're right.
but, you know, both my parents were working because they were the greatest generation. Everything was, everybody was making money. Everybody was producing things. It was the industrial age, and we were just going like crazy and having all kinds of things that were done. People were working, and so my parents thought, hey, television, that's a great thing for a babysitter. And as they looked at it, they didn't see any harm in it. We even sat together as a family on a Sunday and watched that Wonderful World of Disney and another program. And my father was, watch horse hoppers. He watched all the cowboy series, you know, Bonanza, Ponderosa, and all of those. But what we did is we went ahead and didn't know that eventually they were using this for a government indoctrination.
Yes.
And that's what it's been. Every time someone goes to TV, we're being indoctrinated. We're being programmed on how to act. That's a very powerful thing in our lives that we may not realize how powerful it is and how it can draw us away from God very simply and very easy by giving us those satisfactions of our worldly needs. And that's not good.
Even to the point of commercials, there's an insurance commercial out there that literally is dissing the parents. Oh, well, you know, I can't stop you from becoming your parents, but we can, you know, give you this great insurance package. And it's like, oh my gosh, if I could be just half of what my parents were, you're teaching people to disrespect, to not honor your parents. And that's even in a commercial. You know, one of the things about this commandment is, kids, it's not even kids, even adults these days talk about, well, respect must be earned. And I find that ironic in a country where we say, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. Age, okay, and that's what we're talking about. Someone who's older, your parents, your elders, your teachers, law enforcement. Age has developed wisdom. And from that wisdom comes from experience. The fact that these parents have survived hardships and challenges, and they accepted the responsibility for that. That is what we're talking about with, you know, honoring your parents, honoring your elders. People forget that age automatically gives you that level that you should start off with honoring and respecting them, and then let them prove differently.
Yeah, I agree with that so much, you know. I did a little bit of research, and I wanted you to think about this. This is very important as far as honoring your parents. And where are you, and how have you gotten here? Well, I find it necessary to share a very interesting fact about your genealogy. You know, in order for you to be born, you need two parents, right? And you need four grandparents, right? And then it would be eight great-grandparents. Now, if we extrapolate this back to 12 generations only, guess how many ancestors you needed in order to be here right now? 4,094 people. Just think, all the struggles, the battles, the upheavals, the diseases, the broken dreams, but 4,094 people hope for the future for you to exist right now. You're the dream of many ancestors. You're an excellent reason to honor your father and mother.
Excellent. And, you know, we do have, if people would just think about that, maybe that would stop and pause, because you're definitely going to get people, especially nowadays, because we've seen the disruption of the family, and they'll talk about how, well, my parents don't deserve that because they were addicts or they were, you know, abusers. And there's a long list of people that would probably, other people would say they should never have had kids. But that doesn't mean this commandment doesn't apply to them. God didn't say only if, you know. So differentiating and understanding, and I think anybody who's listened to the podcast would know, I like to make sure we understand the words. There's a difference in the Hebrew words. When God says, you shall honor your parents, okay, he wasn't saying respect, because that's a different word. Honor comes from the word kavod. And in English, we associate honor and respect to be basically the same thing. And that's not true. In fact, in the Bible, you can even go to Deuteronomy the first chapter in verse 17. It talks about respect. It's a different Hebrew word than honor. That's respecting has to do with, in judgment, in this particular verse, it's referring to respecting people in judgment and saying you're supposed to be unbiased. Hold in high regard is respect, but honor is different. Honor is a more of a commandment of veneration and courtesy. We're supposed to behave in a certain way that reflects their status as elders, as parents, in spite of our opinions and emotions about them. And that includes step-parents, in-laws, aunts, uncles, you know, so on and so forth. I think you talked about King David.
Mm-hmm. King David, wow, he honored Saul. The jealous father-in-law, he tried to kill him. What tolerance is that? That is something in the Bible that is amazing that they point that out, because it's so important for us to understand where honor belongs.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I like to point out to people, because we are going to get, people are going to think about, well, you know, we don't have to worry about it. But let's keep in mind that God didn't say honor only if the person is personally perceived as deserving, or honor only if it's pleasing for you to do so. Honor only if it, you know, it's being reciprocated. Honor only if it feels right. You know, honor if only other people do. That's not what the commandment says at all. It says to honor. And that means demonstrating through acts of kindness, caring, reverence. Okay. Refrain from actions that embarrass them in public. Okay. That diminishes their roles as parents or as elders. That's part of what honoring is. And I, you know, I can point out the severity of breaking this commandment, okay, Proverbs 30, verse 17 or whatever, it says, and even in Exodus, it says, whoever curses his father or mother shall be put to death, okay?
Now, wow.
Yeah, exactly. That may seem a bit extreme to us today, and I'll have to be honest, there is no port in the Bible that says that that is what they did, but it's showing the importance of keeping this commandment, you know, the ramifications of out of control children, you know.
Oh, that puts that, you know, that really puts a cap on the thing, because it's something where all the other commandments, they don't say that, do they? It's
no.
The only commandment that says that. How important can that be? You know, if you think about that, even though you have maybe a parent that can't get along. Maybe he's an addict. Maybe he's a lazy guy or something. You know, honoring him is a way of honoring God. And that is your ultimate father. So if you can't honor your father on earth, how can you honor your father in heaven?
And I think this commandment also shows the responsibility that parents have to their kids. Okay, children need to be taught period. They need to be disciplined. You're basically making a civilized kid, you know. And this is during that time when kids, all of us, we've all gone through that. We want our freedom, you know. We want that control. And that leads to us being the center of our own universe, which just a few podcasts ago, we just tried to show you that that's not a good thing either. Hello, commandment number one, no false idols. And by letting kids have following their whims and their desires, having them avoid their consequences, which is by not punishing them and stuff, you are making them idolize themselves, okay? They become the center of their own universe. So, you know, I like to go back to that Proverbs 13, you know, in chapter 1, or chapter 13, and even in chapter 22, it talks about sparing the rod, you know. But, you know.
Yeah, our daily life is filled with what that Dr. Jack calls the three C's. Now, we are faced with circumstances during the day all the time. Every time we turn around, there's a circumstance. And what does that call for? It calls for a choice. Mm. So we face circumstances, we've got to make a choice. And even where we get in trouble, even though God gave us a free will to make our own choices, we can't escape the consequences of those choices. So what we have here now is we have a life, a day filled with circumstances that require choices, but those choices, you can make any kind of choice you want, but you cannot avoid the consequence of that choice. And when we talk about honoring our father and mother, those are some of the examples that I want to talk to you about, is what choices do you make in circumstances that you have? If you have a circumstance where, say, your mother leaves and she took your car and you were trying to get to somewhere and you didn't tell her and she used your car, but now you've got to make a decision. You know, what kind of choice you're going to make because your mom borrowed your car and didn't ask you. Say, so you say, well, I can make a choice. I can really get mad at her, or I can understand why she needed that. And the consequences of those choices that you make are always there. And you know, Donna, it doesn't matter how rough life is, Dr. Jack says you still got to follow the rules.
Right, exactly. And you know, it talks about, again, leading by example. The parents, adults, all of us need to lead by example. That actually shows courage. It shows dignity and honor by leading by example of the good way of doing it. In Proverbs, it says, a wise son loves correction, but the senseless one heeds no rebuke. So this commandment really does follow to both sides. It is a message that I've got more in the Bible, but we've got no time, so we can look up those later.
Well, you know, I'm an advocate of tough love, and I stand up for that. I just thought, you know, if I did something wrong, I knew there was a punishment coming. And sometimes that's the worst part of it, that knowing you're going to get it. But, you know, my mom would say, Leon, his brains just fell down to the bottom, and spanking would help get them back up to where they belong. So I said, okay, that was not child abuse. But what I find interesting, many fathers want to become their children's best friend. It doesn't work. A father needs to be a role model for the family.
Right. That is so true. God's commandment of honoring your parents, again, falls back into the parents leading by example. It is a message that shows that parents are a conduit to God. We call God our Father. Okay. You know, God says in Leviticus 19, he says, stand up in the presence of the aged and show respect for the old. Thus you shall fear, or as we know, the word is actually revere your God. I am the Lord. Again, we talk about the aged. They have wisdom because of their experience. That comes with age. I remember my grandma, it was actually my grandfather that said this to me first. He goes, I'm old, but I'm not finished.
Absolutely true.
Lots to pass on, right?
That's right. You know, being a baby boomer, I find it interesting the changes over the different generations, from boomers to Gen X to millennials to Gen Z. They've all progressively gone astray and fallen away from the Lord. I call it an identity crisis. Now, yeah, I think we're all in search of love and acceptance. And through our individual perception of how we think we appear to others is how we identify ourselves. And that's our self-acceptance. So how are we going to accept the fact that we are going to learn from our parents because they're the ones that gave us all of a strong belief system as we were growing up? Or are the parents the ones that we need not to follow because they have some bad habits, they have some things that don't align with God? How do we do that?
Yeah, it truly is a commandment to obey. Not only does it say what God was saying should happen if you don't honor it, but it is the only commandment that shows the reward. You know, it says, this is the commandment that will lengthen our days, okay?
Yes.
Which could be reflected in the enrichment and quality of the meaning of our lives, okay? A more divine or spiritual time clock. So it doesn't necessarily mean long, long life, but it's definitely the only commandment that shows the reward. We also need to remember that you got to give them the opportunity. By honoring your parents, you may not respect them because of the things they did, but by honoring, you are leaving the door open to mend the fences later. There are millions of stories out there that show the mending of parents that were lacking, you know, in the past, but now they're trying to, you know, mend those fences. And we need to lead that over. The word kavod, honor, it also means heavy. So honoring our parents sometimes is not very easy. It is a heavy responsibility, but it is something that we should all remember. Parents and children, which we all are to God, need to behave with that recognition that we are all parts of a chain that leads back to God, who is the ultimate power and creator of all. Now we're out of time. Leon, would you close us in a quick prayer?
I certainly will. Well, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for allowing us to learn more about how we should love you, because we know that you love us so much. We want to return that to you. And we look forward to getting together again. And may God bless all of us until that time. In Christ's name, I say. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Leon. We'll see you all next week.
All right.